This is VOA News via remote. I'm Marissa Melton. Hundreds of mourners stood in line Thursday to pay their respects to Archbishop Desmond Tutu, whose body is lying in state at St. George's Cathedral in Cape Town, South Africa. The cathedral is the site where the anti-apartheid hero preached against racial injustice. Tutu died Sunday at the age of 90. The Nobel Peace Prize winner is revered across racial and cultural divides for his fight against white minority rule. Since Sunday, church bells have been rung every day in his honor, and tributes and prayers have poured in from around the world. Tutu will lie in state at the cathedral through Friday. On Saturday, President Cyril Ramaphosa is expected to deliver the main eulogy at a requiem mass service. A jury in New York State found Thursday that Israel-based Teva Pharmaceutical Industries Limited contributed to opioid addiction in the state of New York. It's a setback for the company, still facing thousands of other opioid-related lawsuits around the United States. Their verdict does not include damages, which will be determined later. The decision follows a nearly six-month trial and 8 days of jury deliberation. Teva did not immediately return a request for comment. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says the city will ring in 2022 in Times Square as planned, despite record numbers of COVID-19 infections around the nation and in the city itself. De Blasio said on NBC's Today Show Thursday that he wants to show the world the city is fighting its way through the latest wave of coronavirus. Officials are planning a scaled-back New Year's bash with smaller crowds and vaccination required. Shortly after the ball drops at midnight, the city's next mayor, Eric Adams, will take the oath of office. From Washington, this is VOA News. Georgia's opposition leader and ex-president Mikhail Saakashvili has returned to prison from hospital on Thursday after being refused food for 50 days until late last month after being jailed on a conviction of abusing his office. He denounced the conviction as politically motivated. The 54-year-old pro-Western reformer called off the hunger strike after he was admitted to a military hospital in critical condition. Saakashvili's doctors who examined him in custody said this month he had developed a number of neurological diseases, quote, as a result of torture, ill treatment, inadequate medical care, and a prolonged hunger strike. Reuters is reporting that Sudan security forces fired tear gas at protesters trying to march toward the presidential palace in Khartoum on Thursday. Thursday was the 11th day of major demonstrations since a coup on October 25th, which saw Abdallah Hamdok removed as prime minister and reinstated a month later. The demonstrators have demanded that the military play no role in government during a transition to free elections. Most bridges to Khartoum were closed, with at least two of them blocked by shipping containers. An army checkpoint with an armored vehicle was seen stationed at one of the bridges that remained open. AP is reporting that its own investigation reveals signs that Myanmar's military is reverting to a strategy of massacres as a weapon of war. The brutal killings and scorched earth tactics, such as the razing of entire villages, represent the latest escalation in the military's violence against both civilians and the growing opposition movement. Since the military seized power in February, it has cracked down ever more brutally, abducting young men and boys, killing healthcare workers, and torturing prisoners. AP says those acts signal a return to practices that the military has long used against ethnic minorities. But this time, AP says the military is using those same methods against people and villages of its own Buddhist ethnic majority. Afghanistan's former president, Ashraf Ghani, has told the BBC that he had no choice but to abruptly leave Kabul as the Taliban took over the nation in August. He denied that there was an agreement with the Taliban for a peaceful takeover, disputing the accounts of former Afghan and U.S. officials. He said in a BBC interview that aired Thursday that an advisor gave him just minutes to decide whether to leave Kabul, as the city was falling to the Taliban. He also denied widespread accusations that he left Afghanistan with millions of dollars in stolen money. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton, VOA News.